candidly, I've lost 2/3 of my projected income for 2020. Taking that news in was really difficult, and more tears were shed. And then it got dark, and I was like, well, I guess this job is over. But just as like an optimistic, positive thing, like I actually have signed 3 new deals since I went into quarantine. Then I was like, okay, my job still exists. Like companies still need to talk about products, marketing.
Welcome back to another episode of Influencer Business. I'm your host, Rich Scudellari. Very excited to have you with us here today. We hope you're all doing well and staying safe. We have an awesome episode lined up for you. We're sitting down with Katie Storino, the influencer behind 12ish Style, and also the founder of Mega Babe. She also is the dogager, the manager of 3 dogs. And she has a podcast called Boob Sweat. She does everything. She also is dabbling in TikTok now. If you know Katie, you know she's a wonderful guest. If you haven't met Katie yet, you're in for a treat. She has been on the podcast before, but we wanted to catch up with her because she's doing some amazing things with Mega Babe. Back in January, they released a new product, hand sanitizer. As you can imagine, over the past several weeks, it's been in extremely high demand. So we're going to talk to her about that. They've actually been doing something really cool. They've been giving that product away. They've been selling it on their site to people who can afford it. But if you can't afford it, they will send you the product. That people reach out via DMs, hospitals have reached out. So it's been really amazing to see what Katie and her team have done and what they've been giving back to the people who are fighting on the front lines and people who are really enduring a very difficult time. She has some amazing stories. We'll get into that. We'll also talk to her about her influencer business that has taken a big hit, but the silver lining and the little ray of hope that she sees at the end of all of this when it comes to new projects and new companies working with influencers. But before we get to the interview, please, a request from us here at Trove. If you like what you hear on the podcast, if we bring you value, if you find it interesting, leave us that 5-star rating and give us a glowing review. We always appreciate it and really does help us out. But with that out of the way, we'd like to welcome Katie Storino to the podcast. Katie, thanks so much for joining us today on Influencer Business.
Thank you for having me, Rich. Rich, I'm really happy that we are finally doing this because I know that we had a pod planned with our friend Hunter McGrady that just did not work out before we left.
Yeah. Unfortunately, situation turned negative and people had to start quarantining. But nevertheless, I'm glad we're able to do this.
Yes. Yeah. And shout out to Hunter. She just launched a clothing collection with QVC. It's super cute. People should check it out.
Yeah, definitely go check it out. Sorry you can't be on, Hunter, but congrats on the launch. Well, Katie, let's dive in here. We'll get to the business side of things in a bit, but first, tell us how things have been going in quarantine on the personal side. You know, how are you feeling? How are you maintaining a sense of normalcy, centering yourself, stuff like that?
My husband and I and our 3 dogs, we are in Maine. It's interesting. We left March 4th. We started at an Airbnb in Connecticut, and then we just kept heading north. And then we got to Maine, and we've been here since, March 4th, we left the city. But it's, as like a person who's visible on the internet, I have to clear that up and give the facts every single time I talk about Maine, because suddenly people are like, you vacated, like you shouldn't bring your stuff to Maine. And like, are you quarantining? Yeah. People are very ready to like police you, which I think is good. And bad, because I've said it like 100 times, but we're, so we're in Maine. There's 2 sides to my current experience. One is that like we're safe, we're healthy. All my immediate family is healthy and we're in a place that is nothing like New York City, in terms of what's going on with Corona. It's also nothing like New York City in terms of my regular life. And that's been very hard to be pulled out of and displaced from. And I miss my life. I miss New York. I miss, like, as everyone does, I miss regular activities. But it's just very hard to be disconnected from a city that you love so much and that you choose to live in. And with no idea basically when I'm going to be able to go home.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are feeling that, whether they're still in their kind of, general place of residency or if they've kind of vacated as well. people just don't know when things are going back to normal and they're feeling kind of this creeping anxiety. So what do you do to kind of stave that off on a day-to-day basis? Do you have a routine? Is there something that you do to kind of center yourself?
Well, I meditate in the mornings. I meditate in the mornings. I've been exercising most days. And one thing that I should do more of is like FaceTime with friends. I actually have been very bad at that. It's like my social anxiety has now creeped into screen anxiety. And like someone calls me and I'm like, I can't pick up. Or like I'll have like a group Zoom and I'm like, I can't make it. Like Wi-Fi's down. Like, cause I just, I don't like the thing that used to happen to me with socialization in person is now just happening on the phone. So
see, I've gone the opposite way. I look, really? You know, I know I look like a gremlin. And so I always just pick up. I'm just like, listen, I'm embracing this. I get it. And I pick up the phone no matter what. And yeah,
really?
It's me. Hey.
Wow. Yeah. Bold. Can I say something about FaceTimes? Yeah. If I knew that we were going to be on the phone for 4 minutes and 59 seconds, I'd pick up everyone's call. My fear is that I'm going to get on the phone and someone's going to try to talk to me for like an hour.
Yeah. And you can't say, oh, I got to go. I got something to be at.
I know. <It's> like, that's why I'm like, they know they got me. So maybe I'll just make a rule for FaceTimes. Like, hey, you got 5 minutes.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. Why not, right? Embrace it, you know? And just say, listen, hey, I'm so excited to talk to you, but you literally have 4 minutes and 55 seconds now.
Yes. I think I would be a more social person during this time.
I think you should try it. And let's plan on doing another episode with the test results in a couple weeks. Okay?
Ooh, the people I'll call. Okay, great.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah. So you March 4th, and it was it because you kind of saw this all coming? Is that why, you know, you decided to, talk to us a little bit about the packing job that you did. How'd you pack? Do you think, what grade? Oh, bad. You wouldn't give yourself a good grade?
I'd give myself a D. Well, I brought my passport.
Okay.
Because I have to flee the country.
Does that automatically move you up a full letter grade?
I would say it was an F. And because, Rich, I brought 3 pairs of underwear. They're all period underwear. So they're underwear you just wear during your period because I had my period when I left, which isn't even enough for like a full period. So that's just so bad. I brought 3 pairs of underwear. I brought 0 sweatpants. 0.
Okay.
I didn't need 0 sweatshirts. I brought... I know. I brought two pairs of workout leggings, 2 like cashmere sweaters, and I did bring my face lotion. Okay.
Didn't you also bring like a set of like really old school weights?
Yeah, those were essential, according to my husband. He had like they're like straight up like 1971 garage 30-pound weights, and I was like, oh, this was necessary. But I brought my hand weights, and I have been using the hell out of those. So
yeah, okay, well, mm-hmm. Well, so that between that and the passport, I think that brings you up a full letter grade. So we'll call it a C-. All right.
Okay.
We'll give you a C-.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. And I think that's fair. And how do you feel like you're doing now versus, you know, now that we've been in for several weeks versus kind of when everything was just kicking off?
I'm adjusted. I mean, I cried 2 days ago. I had like a night of just like an hour of straight crying. But I read that that's normal.
You get a similar release that you do when you work out, I think. There's this, you know, kind of release and almost catharsis that occurs.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was just, we were watching The Innocence Project. I don't know if you've watched that.
I haven't seen it yet. No.
Oh, yeah. So it was like, I found out that my friend's father passed away from coronavirus. I've never met
I'm
him.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. But like, it was just more that so many people around me are losing people. And then, that fear shows up, and then we like flipped on the Feel Good Innocence Project where like people are jailed for like 20 years that are totally innocent. Like just the heaviness really got to me. And I was like, I'm done. And then I put on Moana.
Okay, good. Yeah. Good. You threw on a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
That is Disney. Right. Well, that's good to hear. Well, it's a very tough time. And I think that a lot of people are feeling those exact same emotions. We all, you know, handle it in different ways, but, you know, it's really hard, but I'm glad you're able to find ways to kind of minimize that. Cause you know, otherwise it'd be really tough.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the hard things is you also run a number of different businesses. So now not only are they impacted by Corona, but they're also impacted by everybody working remotely. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. It's been really weird to, manage from this point of view. So I have, I have basically two assistants and they're both working remotely, obviously. As we've mentioned, I have some new tech phobia, social anxiety. So it's like, I have to manage them. So I have to get on the screen with them. I have to call them, but then I've got to fight that urge to not want to talk to anyone. And it's hard to feel productive. Rich, there's so much going on. I have so many different streams. So I've got, for my influencer stuff.
Let's name the streams real quick. Just so people can understand the scope and scale of what Katie Strino deals with on a daily basis. And we'll leave your husband out of it for now.
Sure.
But we can pull him in later. But because that's a whole nother stream, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's taking an exam right now for law school. So that's been a whole thing. But
because you've become effectively a lawyer during this time, right?
Thank you for acknowledging.
Yeah, participating in all of his classes because he didn't bring headphones.
No, he didn't bring headphones. No, no one brought headphones. I didn't bring a microphone, a headphone. Everything you're hearing and seeing from me right now was purchased post fleeing the city. And I did survey some of his courses and I am so glad I'm not a lawyer. so boring. But so I have Mega Babe, which is my personal care line, which we can talk about. And then I have my influencer business. And then I have my podcast, Boob Sweat. And so those are the three major things. And then I'm going to put TikTok in its own category, Rich, because TikTok, aside from Corona and everything else, pandemic aside, TikTok has caused me the most stress during the past 6 weeks. I've cried multiple times about TikTok.
Really?
Yeah.
What's causing you so much stress?
It's a new platform.
Yeah.
It's another thing to manage. And it's I know the thing is that you gotta embrace the new or you die. I understand.
Yeah.
But there's that initial feeling of dread and overwhelm and the desire to want to hand it off, which I remember when Instagram launched 10 years ago, that's what I did for people. I handled their Instagram because they were too overwhelmed and it wasn't hard. It was just, they didn't want to deal with learning it. And that's how I currently feel about TikTok, but it's not really a choice. I have to figure out if I have an audience on there and how I'm going to communicate with that audience. And I think I've been watching, Mary has been doing such a good job of just going for it. And that is something that I wish I were doing a little bit more of.
Well, it's hard. I mean, it's hard with a new platform and certainly a platform that for the first part of its infancy felt like a very much younger demographic focused on dancing and music. And it's crazy though. I mean, the biggest star on TikTok is 15 years old and you forget that. Right.
Rich, it's I'm sorry, you can see me, but no one else can see me. I'm Rich, what are we doing?
Well, I got to be honest. I love TikTok. I think it's, and what I love about it is seeing people repurpose it for their needs. So for example, I follow a farmer who's documenting his process during COVID and talking people through what's happening on farms and why he has to throw away truckloads of onions. And he walks people through kind of what's happening real time.
On TikTok?
And it's fascinating. On TikTok.
Will you send me?
No, it's...
What's the account?
Yeah, I'll send you. What's the account? I'm going to pull it up right now. But it's really phenomenal to see people using the platform in ways that you wouldn't expect. Because you expect to go on there and you see... I'm scrolling through the people I follow right now and it is a weird mishmash. One of my favorites is John Philip Thompson, who's what I'd call a more traditional influencer, but he's really embraced it nicely. There is just so...
Rich, I need your follow list. You're clearly... Is Mary... are you... as a unit, you guys are not freaking out about TikTok. You seem to be kind of embracing it.
Well, candidly, I think it kind of fits Mary's vibe. vibe and her sense of humor. Like, she is really funny. And so she's able to, you know, come up with these. I mean, you're getting a view into my life. This is my wife. Yeah. What you're seeing on TikTok and Instagram is a very good representation of who she is. Because, yes, she does, you know, a lot of wonderful things in fashion, beauty, and lifestyle. But she's also funny as hell.
She's very funny.
And so, yeah. So here's the handle of the farmer that I am following is Shay the Farmer Kid.
Okay.
Shaythe Farm Kid. Farm. K-I-D. Shay the Farm Kid. And it's a really interesting account. Listen, I don't know anything about farming. I don't know if he's selling me a bag of goods or whatnot, but it's fascinating to watch him. I mean, he's got, you know, his kids around. He's got his, you know, it's a family deal, it looks like. And he's walking through all of these different things that have to do with farming and the supply chain and food. It's really fast. So you get that, then you get the dancing. And I, you know, love Alison Holker and Sir Twitch a lot. Ellen DeGeneres is...
Which, look at me. You've rendered me speechless with this conversation. You see the fear that I have? It's just like, I'm...
No, but I love what you're doing. You are embracing it. You're not giving yourself enough credit.
Okay. I'm not embracing it. I'm going to do this weekend? I'm going to make a ton of TikToks and just post them and just see what happens.
Yeah. But I do like what you've done. I think the thing about TikTok is you got to experiment, right? And you have taken one of your most popular things, right? Supersize the look. And you've brought it to TikTok. And you will find an audience that's going to embrace that. You'll also find an audience that's going to embrace a variety of different things. And you're going to have to test and, you know, a bunch of things out. But you'll be able to, you know, it just takes time. And I know it's anxiety inducing. I get it. Okay. But I think you're approaching it the right way. You're not saying, oh, screw this, I'm not going to get into it. You're like, all right, I got to figure it out. It's going to be hard, but I'll get there.
And okay, fine.
Yeah.
I just texted Mary.
I believe in you, Katie.
FYI.
I believe in you. I believe in you.
Okay.
So you've got, getting back to the original kind of conversation, you have Mega Babe, which is your personal care line. You have your influencer business. You have Boob Sweat, which is your podcast. You have TikTok. And then you're also the momager, right? Or the dogager.
Yeah, I am the dogager. I mean, the dog content is the lowest on the priority. It's below TikTok pole. At this point.
Got it. So all of these businesses have been in lines of business have been impacted by COVID-19 and quarantining. You're trying to manage all of this. Let's start with the influencer business. Okay. How is that going? What have you heard? You know, how are you and your team reacting to it?
Rich, quite candidly, I've lost like 2/3 of my projected income for 2020. So taking that news in was really difficult and more tears were shed. And then it got dark and I was like, well, I guess like this job is over. Like this line of work is over. It's over. Goodbye. Mm-hmm. But I just as like an optimistic, positive thing, like I actually have signed, I think, 3 new deals since I went into quarantine. So that was like, then I was like, okay, my job still exists. Like companies still need to talk about products, marketing, even from the Mega Babe side, like we're looking for ways that we can work with people. So, that is like the very, that was the very scary thing. And I don't think that you're going to see, I listened to your podcast about dropping your rates and I know the recommendation was to not do that. But like,
The recommendation was to do exactly what you've done. Be more flexible. Have a conversation. The scope of work might change. Don't just slash your rates right off the bat. It's going to be a conversation, right? And, you know, I think that you do have to be more flexible and you have to, it's going to be a more consultative sell and a consultative approach. Yeah. Here's what I can do. And you're going to have to be creative. It's not going to be like, hey, I'm going to produce the exact same content pre-quarantine that I'm producing now. It's going to be like, here's how we're going to tell the story.
I think the scope matters.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah,
I think you're right about the scope.
Yeah. Somebody smart once said, price doesn't matter. It's all about the terms. And I think that is
too dumb to understand what that means, Rich.
No, it's the exact same thing. It's like the ultimate price of the collaboration is one thing, but the terms and the scope is a whole nother thing, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Got it.
So yeah, but that's really nice. You've been able to sign a couple of collaborations and sponsorships during this time, give you a little kind of ray of hope.
Yes. Yeah. But the, mm-hmm. I mean, there is a ray. It's a ray. It's not like a full beam. It's not like a full sunshine explosion. And I think it's also been interesting doing what I usually do, which is like approaching brands, and please interrupt me if I'm rambling too much about this, but approaching brands that you're interested in working with the way that I usually would, which is how I work. You know, if I really like your shoes, I'm going to write you an email and tell you who I am, send you my media kit, and just put myself on your radar. And it's interesting to do that during this time because you don't want to feel appropriate or that like you're pretty much assuming everyone's budgets are shut down for the moment. So
sure. But well, let's talk about that a little bit. Yeah. So, you know, as you are, I would say, probably a very standard case study in terms of work lost, concerns about is this going to be a viable business going forward? So for influencers out there who are struggling with the same things, what advice would you have for them? How do you keep things moving during this time? You said that you're still reaching out to brands. Should influencers be doing that? How should they do that? Talk us through that.
I think that you should reach out to brands. I think that you should do it appropriately and not like go in with like, hey, I've got an idea for like a 10 post series and like, here's the price tag. I think that's the wrong way to approach it. But showing a brand genuine love right now is, I think, goes a long way and kind of shows who's really into you and who's not, especially with brands that you've worked with in the past who don't have budget at the moment. Showing them love, I think, is a great way to sign yourself up for like to be a long-term future partner with them. So I've been doing that, and getting approached with a ton of campaigns that are being run for charity on behalf of a brand with no pay behind them, and that has been one of the harder things for me to figure out who I participate with. Is this a brand I've ever worked with before? Is this a cause I really care about right now? Or to pass on some of that stuff, even if it's a really good cause.
That's really hard. Yeah. Because obviously you want to help as much as you can right now in every single way. And we'll talk about how you're helping on the Mega Babe side in a moment, but it's really hard because you have a limited amount of time and not everybody has four or five lines of business like you do. So you have to be very thoughtful about how you spend your time. And so what are some of the criteria when you're making the decisions for unpaid work in terms of what you're going to do and what you're not going to do? Because there are so many great causes out there.
Yeah, I think it's truly, is this a brand that I ever want to work with in the future? Is this a brand that is that even works with influencers? Or is this someone who's like kind of looking to take advantage of the situation by getting you to post because of the current state of the world? Those are kind of those are my filters right now for figuring out who I'm working with. It's the same thing for like the Instagram lives. I've been turning down, as I'm sure you're familiar with this, like I've been turning down lives every single day a brand approaches me to do a live. And I'm like, well, this is not just a conversation. It's an advertisement for your brand. You want me to go on my channel, which brings people to your channel. We're going to talk about your product. So there's that aspect. And also the over like use of lives. Like I don't really think anyone cares about me sitting there and talking to like the founder of another beauty brand, for 30 minutes. It feels so, I was like, I'm not doing lives without a structure that I find entertaining. So for the next three, I have planned over the next 3 weeks, we're playing bingo.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
How are you doing that?
We made a board that you can copy on your, like you screenshot on Instagram stories. And then as we're doing it, like you watch the live on your computer and then you have your board next to you. You can like click off the things that we say, because the way you win is like, you know, someone like checks their hair out and like adjusts it in the camera, or like like the sound goes out, or someone says like don't you hate lives, or like all these things that happen on every single one. We just put them on a board and yeah. then you can win.
That's really, see, this is what I like about, you know, during these very difficult times, these creators like yourself come up with awesome new ways to look at, you know, whether it's an Instagram live or whether it's TikTok content or whatever it might be. And that keeps it entertaining and interesting. And you talk about, hey, 2/3 of my revenue kind of was wiped out when COVID hit. The reality is that's true because marketing and advertising budgets are the first things to get slashed. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, influencers are one of the few places you can go, one of the few production houses that is actually open for business.
Yeah.
And not only that, they can work quickly. Yeah. You know, you get a campaign, you could turn it around. Theoretically, it's hard, and there should likely be an acceleration fee, hint, hint, nudge, nudge, brands, for something that needs to be turned around in a couple of days because it's not as simple as, you know, everybody thinks it is. But you're able to do that, whereas a big media company or a big production company requires time, effort, people, yeah. money to do that type of stuff. So that is, I think, one of the silver linings out of all of this. You're seeing a lot of creativity bubble to the surface. And I think you're also going to see a lot more brands coming out of this embracing influencers who haven't before, because this provides them with an opportunity to do that. So that's, you know, my hopeful take on things. But
I like that. And just to piggyback off of that, I had to shoot my Stitch Fix lookbook here.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. With my my Instagram husband.
Yeah. Now, how much experience does John have as a photographer?
Well, Rich, you've seen his social media feed. It's, what's the word?
It's a mishmash of a variety of different aesthetics is how I would put it.
Yeah. He's not a great photographer. And that was very stressful for me because like he's not good at taking pictures and I'm not good at doing my hair. And it was like, here, like shoot 12 looks.
But here's the saving grace. People are not necessarily coming to you for perfectly styled hair and the perfect. They're coming to you because you have a good sense of style. You know what they want. And like your last Stitch Fix collab was amazing, right? And that's why there's round two.
Yes.
So,
So, but we did okay. We did okay. But it was.
I'm sure you did better than okay.
No, we really did just okay, I think. Like, but I think they'll make it look nice and, you know, brighten it up and
sure. And when does that drop?
June 2nd.
June 2nd. Yeah. Okay. Keep an eye out. Put it on your calendars.
Yeah. Watch the space.
I think. Well, let's talk about Megababe.
Okay.
Because obviously, another one of your babies, and small businesses have been severely impacted by this crisis. And you've talked a lot about how, you know, people on the outside looking in think, oh, Megababe's just another big beauty brand. It's, you know, venture-backed and all of this, like completely self-funded. You know, for a long time, your parents were actually shipping every single product.
Yeah, too.
And, you know, you've grown a little bit in terms of now you have somebody else shipping your products, but it's still a very small team.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about what you have gone through on that side of the business. Give people an insight into what COVID has done to small businesses like yours.
First of all, on my own social media feed, I always feature female business owners, but we've really amped that up to feature small business owners like even more during this time. We're such a lean team and we don't take salaries to begin with. So that wasn't a big thing for us. It's not like we had to cut that kind of money. So
you didn't have to lay your parents off?
We didn't have to lay my parents off. They're retired now. So they are like, but they still think that they're like, my sister has moved in with them during this time. And they still think that they're like the bosses of the company. They're very opinionated. They don't care if we're on a call. They'll come in and be like, tell them to ship it for free. And I'm like, Mom. And that is Megababe in a nutshell.
I love how much they're into it, though. I love how invested they are in it. That's really phenomenal.
They are. So we have had so many issues with shipping because obviously shipping is a complicated thing. I'm burying the lead here, Rich. We make hand sanitizer. So So we launched hand sanitizer in January, obviously with no idea that this was coming. Mm-hmm. Our hand sanitizer is plant-based. It doesn't dry your hands out. It's a big step up from a Purell, which is why people love it. But then also there's just like a need for hand sanitizer. So there's been two things going on. One, we decided that if you can't get hand sanitizer, we will send you hand sanitizer for free. Free shipping, free everything, free product. We send it to hospitals. We send it to individuals. We'll send it to your grandparents, like, can't leave their house. Like, we'll send it to your grandparents. Like, it's...
That's incredible.
It's like that. So we're balancing that along with, like, an extreme need and desire from people who are buying hand sanitizer, which means we're acquiring a lot of first-time customers. But the experience is tough because we're dealing with like delays in shipping. The demand is so crazy. We've had to source bottles from all over the place. And, you know, we're fighting for the last pumps, like in the country, like that kind of stuff, like Hunger Games stuff. And so like the experience it's been hard to control the experience the whole way through. But the bottom line is that people like the product. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And it's giving me a feeling of a little bit of control, or that I'm helping in some way to be able to provide hand sanitizer to people who need it.
Yeah. I think that's incredible. And it's really interesting that you use that analogy, the Hunger Games. Here you are trying to provide a necessary and essential product for free to people like hospital workers and folks on the front line, and then also people who are trying to buy it. And you're just having trouble even just sourcing the packaging, right? The hand sanitizer in itself isn't necessarily a problem. It's like what it goes in and how we ship it.
No, but they raised the cost of alcohol by, I believe, 15%. So the cost of goods went up.
That's a direct hit to your margin. That's a direct hit to,
But we haven't raised the prices. We've kept the prices, like we've kept the prices low, and we've limited quantities so people can't buy in bulk.
Yeah. That's really smart. That's really smart. And talk to us a little bit about the customer experience. That's something I don't think a lot of people will quite understand. But what you've done very intentionally at Megabate is give everybody a very specific experience, a feeling that they get when they interact with Megabate, whether it's online, whether it's in person, whether it's just, you know, dealing with your products. And that's such an important part of what you are as a brand. And so when you bring that up as your first concern, explain that a little bit, because some people might not understand what you're trying to cultivate.
Our customer service, I think Megababe customer service is basically how you would want someone to respond if someone had a problem. I mean, I'm not saying very eloquently here, but we come in with the Midwest charm. We really, we're like, if something happened, whether it's our fault or not, which quite frequently it's not, we're here, we're apologizing, we're giving you a code, we're sending you something free. Like, we're just trying to let you know that we care, because we do. And it's so funny because people will come in so hot and so mad and they're like, and then, I think there's a lot of emotion obviously out there. And sometimes it comes out in a customer service email and you're like, Hi, Jennifer, your package was delivered like 3 days ago, is left at the back door. And then they have it and they're like, oh,
what do I do?
Thank you. Like, they're, you know, it's just like, they're like,
everybody's
inbox is hot.
Yeah. Well, and everybody's amped up right now. Everybody's got a lot of anxiety. Everybody's concerned. And so, unfortunately, sometimes customer service is where people take it out on. They shouldn't necessarily.
They do. It's just
sometimes it's warranted.
There. I know.
But yeah, most times it's not. And usually the person answering the emails has nothing to do with kind of the shipping and packaging and sourcing of materials. But So talk to us a little bit about what the next several weeks look like for Megababe.
Well, we have to, I think one of the things, truthfully, my sister and my best friend Kate have been the ones driving like the whole hand sanitizer operation. And I've been keeping my eye on the ball for summer, because we're going to emerge pretty quickly. I mean, obviously it's a slow opening, but outside of New York City, the rest of the country will open. People will start walking around and being places. And summer is Megababe season, our thigh rescue.
Yeah.
And this is our time. So we're having to like reorganize a lot of our marketing initiatives. We're not doing anything in person. Like all of the, like any out of home experiences, all of that, it's all shifted. It's all changed. And so we're figuring out how to make an impact for the summer. remotely.
Mm-hmm. That's a huge lift because not only are you figuring out how to do that, but you're all scattered, right?
Yes.
You don't have a centralized location. You're all working remotely yourselves.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, and we always have been. So that's not a change for us. The change is that, like, you know, my sister has, like, there's no, well, my sister has my parents for childcare, but like Kate doesn't really have like childcare or her husband. It's really complicated because now you're working with reduced hours, more work coming at you.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a case for influencers, as you said, like, instead of taking, we have very limited dollars, but instead of taking some of those dollars that we would have maybe put towards an event, we will recycle them back into like an influencer program.
You know, it's interesting. It comes full circle, right? Because you're talking about your influencer business losing dollars, you know, during the crisis, but coming out of it, you're actually going to be spending money with your Mega Bay business on influencers that you would have spent on live events. And I think that is a trend that we're going to see. I think that's a perfect encapsulation of things that we're going to see. You feel really badly for the travel bloggers and travel influencers and folks who make their money from going places, being at events and stuff like that. But there is an opportunity. And hopefully when things reopen, I've already talked to a few travel influencers who've said, hey, airlines reached out to me because they wanted me to talk about how the air circulates through the airplane to ensure people that COVID is not going to be contracted because I'm in an airplane and the airflow is, I haven't done a ton of research on that, but this is what they were telling me. And they said a hotel reached out because they wanted us to talk about their cleaning policies and to document how often and how thoroughly they clean, because there's going to be a huge re-education process because all of a sudden we're going to think about these things that, you know, we didn't think about previously. But back to the original point, the good news is, coming out of this, I think there's going to be a lot of money spent on influencers that was spent elsewhere. And Mega Babe, it sounds like, is one of those, you know, folks who's going to be doing that.
Yeah, well, we have to walk the walk. I mean, that's a program I believe in deeply because that's the other half of my job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that we just touched on, obviously, was the hot inbox on the customer service side of things. People right now are, you know, very dialed in to how brands and influencers are acting. They're on high alert. Every action you take as a brand is amplified. Yeah. And so how do you navigate this as a business owner?
Well, I think that it's interesting. So you have the example of Draper James, who offered to send dresses. Did you hear about this?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So there's that example. They offered to send dresses to teachers. They were inundated with requests. They had earmarked 250 units for teachers, and they didn't anticipate that over 1 million people would apply. Now, maybe that's on them because they have such a massive following, or Reese Witherspoon really has a massive following. And so they should have known maybe that they'd get more applicants than they wanted to. So I guess what I'm saying is that, like, you're being punished if you execute doing something good in the wrong way. You're being punished if you, influencers who are like telling people what they do, like, hey, I went to a hospital and I baked cookies for them and like I did it really safely. People are like, quit showing us like what you're doing. Like people are very critical, which I don't like.
Right.
That's one way. So I think to navigate it, you have to be annoyingly over communicative about everything that you do. Meaning,
right.
I posted a picture that like we left like a tip and some like hand sanitizer out for our UPS guy and said that in like a note. And you have to be like, this is an idea that you might want to consider. Like, and these are the safety. So I think that what I'm trying to say is, I just think that it's about showing people the kinds of things that they could take for their own lives and apply to their own lives, rather than like a look how good I am and look at all the cool stuff I'm doing. Because it's a COVID cancel culture. People are ready. They are so ready. I ate a lobster last week. Okay. I'm in Maine.
Okay.
Give me a break. I don't eat meat. I'm not a vegan.
But you also have a lobster guy.
Yeah, I got a
that
lobster
that comes
guy.
By your house.
Yes. Yeah. I, it's totally safe. We're 6 feet apart. Yeah. I pay him via Venmo. Fine. I'm helping out the lobster industry. I'm giving someone income. Like, get off my back. Do you know how you kill lobsters? You boil them. You can stun them first, whatever. It's all happening. I got an inbox full of people being like, I can't believe you would kill that lobster. And I'm like, if you're not a vegan, like get out of my face. Because I'm like, what do you think you're eating? What do you think you're wearing? Like what?
Yeah.
People are just ready to rage is my point of that whole lobster tangent.
Yeah. Uh-huh. No, they really are. And you have to develop perhaps a slightly thicker skin now. And you have to be very intentional about what you're doing and be hyper aware.
Yeah.
Because living your life on the internet has its downsides. And when people are wound up, you know, that becomes a time where they look to dig in and, you know, take out some of their own frustrations, unfortunately. And there have certainly been moments where those frustrations have been warranted. I don't think in the lobster case they were, but there have been some influencers who have done some things that perhaps were not, you know, were not good to be sharing. First of all, good to be doing, and then good to be sharing because it's setting a bad example. So there are obviously good instances and bad instances of people trying to keep everybody in line. But I think people need to pump the brakes sometimes.
Yeah, I'm with you. Mm-hmm.
And one of the other questions that I have is, you know, as a business owner, right, you've got a lot of things to be thinking about. How do you balance making sure your business doesn't go under or get in a very compromising financial position by taking on debt while also taking care of employees and the people that you work with? Because obviously everybody, you know, wants every employee to be paid and continue to be paid until this crisis is over because that is people's livelihoods. But at the same time, business owners could put themselves in tremendously difficult positions and bankrupt the company by doing things that are ill-advised from a financial perspective. How do you look at that?
In Mega Babe's case, we are in a position where we have not had to lose any of our workforce. We're full steam ahead. We retained our PR firm. I think most of the adjustments we're making are in our marketing plan, but basically, Rich, I think if we didn't make hand sanitizer, we'd be in a totally different position.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's like we're a rare example of like actually needing to ramp up workforce during this time.
Sure.
And if we weren't, I do not know. I think we would probably be in a much different position.
Mm-hmm. But like you're also making the decision to give away a lot of hand sanitizer, right? So you are still balancing the giving versus running a business and generating income, right?
I don't think that's a business decision, I guess. I think that's what that is. Yeah. Cause I think that's a human decision. And is it I know that there are people who will gift like bigger brands looking to make a good impression on people with the, like they'll put a small business in front, like American Express might, they'll be like, we're sending hand sanitizer to like 100 hospitals through Mega Babe. Right. So they'll pay, there are brands out there who will just, if you wanted to, if we were savvy enough or something, like we would work out one of those deals or figure that out. But the truth of the matter is, it's just like when you get a DM from someone who's like, my mom's still going to chemo treatments every day. We have no hand sanitizer. Like it's not like a choice. It's just like, we have a resource that like humans need right now. And we need to sell it because we're a business, but we need to do whatever we can do to help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And those types of things, I think this time in particular, everybody's on under a microscope, brands, influencers, everything. Let's talk about it as brands, you know, from the brand perspective for a second. You're doing things now, I think, that are setting in stone your reputation as a brand, right? You're having that human connection. You're doing things that aren't justified by the P&L results. You're giving away product when you could be selling it for a 50 to 100% markup.
Yeah.
Right? And I think times like these really bring out the best in the case of Mega Babe and the worst in the case of other brands in people. Some people are trying to capitalize on this as a marketing opportunity, which makes sense from a P&L perspective, but there are a lot of people hurting. Do you think that the consumer will remember this once COVID is over?
No.
Will they remember who was good and who was bad?
No, I don't. I think people do have short memories. And I think that I hope that we've touched people out there. And I hope that I guess what I'm saying is I hope people have the good feeling about us and remember us and say, hey, this is a family business. This is like a small business. This is a female owned business. This is a business who cares about humans. I hope that people remember that. Do I think that people will remember all the missteps from other brands or influencers. I don't. I think that once people, like, the country starts to reopen, we got out of this like microscope, I think there's a bit of business as usual that will take place.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, mm-hmm. I just don't think people pay attention that hard.
Well, and I think it speaks volumes about it, because you're doing this knowing that you're probably not going to see, you're probably not going to reap the benefits of just being a good moral business.
You know what, Rich? You never are. Like, that's the thing. Like, unfortunately, like being a good guy in business is severely overrated. The nice guy does finish last quite often. So
let me ask you a question then. Why are you being the nice guy?
Because that's just who we are.
Yeah. No, that's right. And that's exactly the right answer. That's who we are.
Yeah.
Right. And you should be commended for that. And hopefully there are a lot of good folks out there who are paying attention. If you're listening to this podcast, definitely give a shout out to Mega Babe. Show them some love, because they are doing a lot of great work. And they're not looking for anything in return. But as a friend of Katie's and somebody who's been watching this, I would hope that you give them a little love. So,
thanks.
No, absolutely. Katie, it's been awesome to have you on the podcast, but before I let you go, what kind of final advice would you have for influencers, small businesses, or just people who are trying to navigate this time and looking kind of towards the end of the light at the end of the tunnel here?
Don't be afraid to pivot. Don't be afraid to try new things. I don't think you need to completely, if there's hope for your business, stay the course. But I think that we are going to be coming out of this in a different time and a different way for a lot of the ways that we operate. And there's opportunity there. So I'm speaking to myself as much as anyone out there, that if you don't look at it as a scary time and that everything's changed and nothing will ever go back, and you look at it as a time of opportunity and maybe like there's going to be holes in the market that weren't there before that you can help fill, I think if you look at it through that lens, this can be a very cool time for small businesses, which is a really weird thing to say.
Yeah. But an opportunity to potentially reinvent yourself and pursue a new avenue that might be better, might be more profitable, might be, you know, a better outcome for you in the long run.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Katie, where can people find you and Mega Babe online?
They can find me at Katie Storino on Instagram, or we are megababebeauty.com. We also sell at every Ulta, every Target, Goop.
Go check them out.
Yeah, check us out.
Target, Ulta, Goop, online at megababebeauty.com. Yes. And if you don't already, make sure you follow Katie at Katie Storino on Instagram, and same on TikTok.
Yeah, we're the same on TikTok. Yeah, thanks.
Same on TikTok.
Thanks.
Hit her up on TikTok.
You're doing it. Yeah.
Spreading the good word. Well, Katie, thanks again for joining us today on Influencer Business. It's been a pleasure having you. An awesome conversation with Katie. It's always great to chat with her. If you're not already following her, make sure you follow her at Katie Storino on Instagram and on TikTok. And if you're not already a Mega Babe customer, make sure you go check them out. They're doing some amazing stuff during this crisis. And as I mentioned earlier on the podcast, I think this time brings out the best in people and the worst in people, and they are definitely the best. So they could use some love. They're doing it because this is who they are. This is how they run their business. They're not looking for accolades, but if you follow us here on the podcast, please go show them some love. We talked about a lot of different things with Katie, but two things that really stood out to me. The first thing she talked about was how she's engaging with brands. And despite the fact that 2/3 of her yearly income was just wiped away by COVID, she's still reaching out. She's still engaging with brands. And remember, if you reach out to them now during their lowest point, they will remember that. So make sure you're reaching out to them, brands you work with, brands you want to work with, show them a little love, and down the road, they will show you some love. The other thing that I wanted to touch on was what Katie mentioned at the end. Don't be afraid to pivot. Don't be afraid to reinvent yourself, whether you're a brand or whether you're an influencer. Use this time to think critically about what you are and where you're going and what your brand is. It is a very dark time, but if you can use this time to think about where your brand, where your business is headed, it could be very productive. So thanks again for joining us today on Influencer Business. If you like what you heard on the podcast, please go leave us that 5-star rating and give us that glowing review. It really does help us. A big shout out to our guy, Pete Crimmy, and the team over at Sound Lounge for always making us sound better over the podcast than we do in person. And make sure you tune in next week for another great episode. Once again, I'm Rich Scudellari. This has been Influencer Business, and we'll see you next time.